Hello, Schmoville. It's me, Ken Napzok, the producer of the Schmoes No Movie podcast, welcoming you to the next chapter of the podcast as we broadcast live to tape from the Drama 3-4 production studios in the beautiful heart of Hollywood. Welcome to the podcast, where we are now. This is where we are right now. The future's going to change, but we're here bringing you an episode this Thursday. Here we are. It's Thursday night, Toad Hop Network, 8 p.m. PST. It's like old times. And on the show, you're going to find Mark and Christian and Tiffany just there with their normal witty and informative banter. And we're going to talk about The Hobbit coming out. We're going to talk about our collaborations with Drama 3-4 Productions as we interview David Fickus of Drama 3-4, talk about the offline movie night, which is happening Friday night, tomorrow night. If you're listening live at the Acme Comedy Theater, Beverly and La Brea, come on out if you're local. And it's all there, and you're gonna enjoy this episode, but you're also going to immediately hear one thing that's going to be a little different, and that is the sound quality on this episode is not up to our normal great broadcast standards. That's because in a pinch, we're using some of my equipment and taking it all on the road in a big, large bag. And, well, there were some technical issues. I'm not going to bore you with the details. Some microphones weren't being read by my computer. I threw the computer out the window a couple times. That may have been part of the problem. But we get it. You're going to listen to this, and you're going to want to leave some comments on Facebook or MySpace, Friendster, Twitter, and say, hey, this doesn't sound good. Oh, what's happened? You want to make a bunch of rude comments like you're on some sort of reality show date with Mark Ellis. You don't need to. We get it. And trust me, we corrected the problem, and next week's episode with special guest Andrew Freed sounds great because they fired me after this show. So enjoy this one. We'll see you. Thanks for listening, Schmoville. We love you.
Hello, Schmoville. Well, as promised, the show is back. It is the Schmoes No Movie Show. I'm Christian.
And I am, and now it's official, TV's Mark Ellis.
We sure are TV's Mark Ellis, and we're going to get into that as well. But the whole crew is absolutely here. You're going to be able to see the video on our YouTube channel. But right now, on these mics, you have myself, Mark Ellis, and our co-host, the lovely, the talented, Miss Tiffany Smith.
Hey, but first, can we just talk about the fact that Mark just acted like he was like an old person on camera for the first time. Hi.
It's exciting.
While you were talking, he waved at the camera.
He's very nice.
Look, I think we all know that I've been on camera a bunch. I think what's exciting about this is that we're from a new studio, and because we left the Toad Hop Studios, we're still on the Toad Hop Network, but now this is a new place, and I did not know what to expect coming to this thing. Oh, I didn't know if there would be like a crank, if we have to wait for like lightning to strike, so we have enough electricity.
In Knapsack's basement.
Yeah, that was a genuine risk. And right. Ken, you're right here, and we don't mean to make fun of you, but we're going to.
Right. Ken Napsok, our producer, still our producer, but right now he's acting as the engineer. So
he's just touching buttons. He has no idea.
He has no idea.
Yeah,
he's looking at the camera again. You watch his video when we put it up on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/schmoesno. We're coming. We're in the offices of a great production company called Drama 3-4 that we have partnered up with. We're working with, and we're actually going to be having one of the presidents of the company, David Fickus, is going to come in and talk to us a little later.
It's kind of a necessary thing. Hey, can we podcast from your place? Don't worry, we'll have you as a guest.
He's fucking boring.
Fickus is great, and actually, other than all the stuff that he does as an actor, producer, writer, director, he's also a huge Van Halen fan, so we're going to have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, and we're going to talk to him maybe about the commercial you saw him in right before we debuted on East the Drama Queen.
Yeah.
We'll get into in a second. Right?
Yeah. Oh, we were on that program.
We were on that
program. Oh, such an enjoyable show anyway.
Can you say program?
Program, yeah. I had some potatoes for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, but look, guys, it is really cool to be... I got to tell you, I like this intimate thing again.
I feel like I'm doing like college. You know what? I feel like I'm in your first year of grad school. Yeah. You know, when you haven't really started hitting the books yet, you're still kind of now you're selling pots to the freshmen.
Well, but no, it's like we're going back to that. Because we used to do that when we were with Reitman beforehand. You know, that was kind of what the feel always was. Now I just feel like everybody's hanging out right now. The show when we did it before, nobody was listening.
Yeah.
Now people are listening a lot. So we're like, now, the fact, if you can see what we're doing right now, I like this.
And I don't want to make anybody here on the show nervous, but also we have Josh Wildman McCoug right behind the camera. I don't really trust him around expensive electronics, but what the hell, we'll roll the dice. Josh, the intern, Mark Rowley's over there. Our guest is coming in. We have an audience in here, too. There's like people watching. watching us podcasting.
I love it.
Yeah, JTI, in classic JTI fashion.
Jamming pizza in his face.
He's like, remember that kid in school that was always eating something? Yeah. It's like, where do you put all that food?
You notice Copster, the good intern, isn't here and everything goes to shit. This guy's slamming down peppers, got half a pepperoni hanging from his left nostril.
You were the one who said it was like college day at selling pot. He's the one eating pizza.
I didn't say that. Ella said that. But
yeah, JTI was just the local hanger on. He never really got in, but like his dad's the janitor at the school, so he gets to hang with the kids.
All right, guys, we got a lot to talk about tonight. Again, like we mentioned, David Fickus will be joining us to talk about everything that's going on with Drama 3-4, but we'll also talk about some of his favorite movies. And what we're going to do as well is JTI, as much as I bust his chops, he's got a great series on Schmo Plus right now with Copster that they do, and that would be Schmo Plus.
We do Schmo Plus, Christian.
Schmo's Choice.
That's our racket.
Schmo's Choice, which is a game where you pick two classic movies.
Yeah.
And you have to decide which one you want to eliminate from the face of the
earth. Like Sophie's Choice, when she had to pick which kid, I would take neither kid. I'd just say, just let me be myself again. But movies, we love movies, so it's really hard to pick which movie would you take and which movie you could never watch again.
Yeah, so we'll play that with David as well. And then later on in the show, we will talk about the upcoming films, which will be Inside Llewyn Davis, the new Coen Brothers movie, as well as Out of the Furnace.
You're going inside somebody, you're going out of something else.
Right. Outside Batman. Christian Bale and... And
let's talk about we're at the Drama 3-4 offices. Yes, let's talk about something else that involves the word drama.
Oh man.
Let's talk about this little television program on E! That stars our beloved manager Marky Costello. It's called The Drama Queen, and Christian and I were lucky enough to actually be featured on the show last night, which was really cool because we thought we were gonna be on the episode last week, and we weren't, much to the chagrin of Schmoville, but they came back, they supported us, and now we actually got some airtime.
Is that a motorcycle gang coming through, Ken?
That's the Sons of Anarchy.
Very nice, I like it. Yeah, the Drama Queen. I mean, look, we knew our manager spoke. What's going on, Tiffany?
Did you just say, I love Bad Boys?
I said, you love Bad Boys. You could be
I thought you said, you I love Bad
again?
Boys. Well, I did just fly. I got home last night at 1:30.
Where were you?
I was in New York and Connecticut.
Okay, so you were
It was
jet.
Thanksgiving. I was working. It was my birthday.
Well, look at you. Hey. All of a sudden.
So, wait. It was your birthday? Shit, I didn't know that.
It was Friday.
You didn't tell us.
I told people.
What? Did she tell you, Mark?
Yeah, but you know what? Women kind of celebrate their birthdays all month, so I'll take you to Applebee's next week.
That's true. All right, can we talk about movies? Is that all right?
Yes.
All right, let's talk about the Drama Queen.
So you didn't see us on the Drama Queen.
No, because I was flying, but I got off the plane and I got so many tweets about everybody saying how...
Oh, my God. Yeah, so basically the premise is they want to feature a couple of Marky's clients. We're one of them, one of her star clients. She's trying to build a big brand with us that we've already kind of started. She's going to help us get some momentum into other realms, right? And apparently one of those realms is me... finding a girlfriend, because I went on a date. Christian got to hang out with Marky a little bit more. Ugh. And, man, this thing was... I'm still processing everything that happened.
I heard just our crew.
Yeah.
Yodi is in the back, almost puking when you say her name. And then...
I can't stand that woman.
See?
Well...
Look, she's not that bad in person, but the problem is, like I said...
Wait,
off
you're talking about the girl who went on the date?
Angie, yeah. She's the...
Angelica, yeah.
The secretary. And it's just... Here's my thing with the show, is that I love what Marky's doing on the show. I think that Marky's such a big personality on the show, too. I wish that he would focus more on Marky, on what she's doing with her clients.
Yeah.
How she's focusing. Uh-huh. She reps Tiffany as well, too, and I want to see her, like, the behind the scenes of what Marky was doing with us on the show. I want to see more of that and not this office drama, because I don't care. Maybe E's audience does. I don't know.
I don't give a shit about what goes on in the office. I really don't. It's a bunch of catfighting and...
That's what I'm saying. I agree. I don't want to see anything. Don't you want to see, like, wouldn't you like to see the show of, like, inside of what a manager does? And a manager of Marky's personality?
Christian, if we're going to fix the show, we're going to be here all night. All right? Let's just do a quick recap of what actually went down. So they actually came... The first thing they showed was they came to the podcast.
Yeah.
When we were in the Toad Hop studios. And that was kind of fun to see the whole gang in action. Ken Knapsack got some really good airtime.
Yeah. No, I thought that was really cool, too. Because Riley was actually over at my place, and we were watching it, and it was really cool to not only watch the podcast on TV and see what we were doing, how it kind of, you know, showing the whole crew and everything too. But what was really cool, and again, we said this last week when we weren't on the show, was the support from Schmo.
Badass.
My God, they were tweeting their asses off and everything. We gave a whole bunch of prizes away too. It was really cool, but the support was out, and he had to been blown away from all the Schmoville tweets.
Yeah, it's very exciting that. But then you see yourself on TV, and you wonder how you're going to come off on TV, and then it's reality television. So you worry that they're going to cut, they're going to make it look like this. I went on a date with the secretary. Her name's Angelica, cute enough girl. I kind of shot myself in the foot because I put my number in her phone when we had the meeting, and then I think everybody was like, "Hey, we found ourselves a subplot because you." Christian Harloff, the married guy, then like, oh, well, Ellis must be the single schlub, so let's put him on a date and see what happens. So the way the day was portrayed...
You knew what was going to happen, though.
But they said, the way that they portrayed it was like, oh, Mark is dying to go on a date with his secretary. I don't care about this chick.
Oh, I know, but you're saying like, oh, I put my number in her phone, and they just put two and two together. You knew that's what they were going to do.
Well, we definitely thought so. And again, the way that they played it, the way that they played the date when we were watching it, even with Riley and I, we were like, what are they doing here? But with the joke with the flowers and everything too, because Mark, on the date, you were like just, you started to make the crew laugh, right?
I was crushing in the date.
What happened?
That sounds pretty good. Yeah, there we go.
Where's Johnny Ice?
Huh? Where am I putting this mic, Ken?
Put that back in the damn stand.
You told me to take it out. Well, look,
this is seriously like Dad watching over the crew. Now Ken has had a lot of jobs beforehand. Now he's lost 10 pounds since he sat down in this chair.
That mic fiasco still went better than the actual date. So yeah, so the date there's just no chemistry. And anytime I have to go into anything, I'm gonna commit. I'm gonna go 100%. I'm gonna try to have a good time right away. This broad, there's just nothing there.
Right.
There's just nothing going on.
To make the crew laugh,
I'm just making the crew and the extras laugh. Yeah, extras, real date. So. You know, I wasn't totally happy about everything the way it was portrayed, but it was fine. It was funny. No harm, no foul.
No, it wasn't. Overall, to be honest with you, and I think that was the thing from what Schmoville said and then the responses that I got from everybody, we came off great. You know, and again, like we came off like the fact that what we do is we were ourselves. Our chemistry was back and forth. I don't mean on the date.
And here's the thing, is that if you came to this podcast, you found us through the Drama Queen, welcome to the show. We talk about movies. That didn't really come across last night on TV. We kind of just looked like two guys who really want to do radio. And that's,
our personalities came out, even though when you and I were on like the interviews.
Yeah, got to bust each other's balls a little bit. That was fun.
Yeah, it was cool.
And you had a great line.
Which one?
Because Christian knew that I went on a date with his chick, and then he's in a scene by himself. Right, right. Christian walks in, and he sees Angelica, he's like, hey, when's the wedding? And because you know reality TV, you know how this shit works. And I hate to use this on you because you're a Yankees fan, but you walked into that office like you were David Ortiz in the World Series, and you knew you were going to hit it out of the park. And you did. Congratulations,
guys. I had a lot of other lines that they didn't use, too, that were really good, but it doesn't matter. And the bottom line was you guys really, really supported us, and we thank you very much. It was really cool.
You guys rock. Thank you so much.
Apparently, we're going to be on again this Sunday, so check it out.
Yeah, well, we know how that goes.
Yeah, we may or may not. So, all right. Now, I hate to shift this into a down note, but I think
we're done talking about my date.
Yes. No. But this is
that was a pretty down note.
Yeah.
This is worse.
This is tragedy.
Yeah. This past Saturday, we had heard that Paul Walker, actor from the Fast and Furious franchise, had passed away in a car crash. Which is as ironic as it is. It's tragic. And We got to talk about it too. One thing I want to address right off the top, and I had posted on Facebook that he had died, and rest in peace. And then some guy on Facebook, and this pissed me off honestly. And if you're out there listening, you pissed me off. He had mentioned, well, you guys, right before last week, you cracked a joke about Paul Walker calling him known idiot. Ken Napsuck, dude. What the fuck does that have to do with anything?
Yeah, it's like...
What does that have to do with anything?
I have called you an idiot before. Right. I've even called Tiffany an idiot, not to her face, because I would never do that. But behind her back, I've called her many names.
Right.
And I would feel... If she died, I would feel really bad about it. It's not a thing where it's like, oh, I didn't know this guy has a week to live. And I didn't know that he was gonna die in such a tragic, ironic fashion. And the way these things work now on Twitter, it's just so really weird, because I got a text from JTI, right? He's the guy. I didn't give it to him. JTI is just kind of the guy that texts me when people die.
Yeah.
And
I saw that chain. He's like the harbinger of death, man. I saw he had
Gandolfini.
Gandolfini also.
And so I get a text from JTI, and I'm like, well, JTI is a pretty responsible source. And you go on Twitter, and you're like, oh, this is. And people are saying now maybe it's a hoax, maybe it's not.
JTI is ambulance coming. Who died?
Yeah, that's. And so and then you find out it's true, and it's like, man, that is so. It's a weird thing. I don't know that there's ever been a more ironic death in Hollywood than this.
It was crazy, and crazy in also a way because there was like the fake hoax thing. I still don't know the true story behind this. Apparently, there was a fake hoax, you know, right the day before saying that he died or something.
It was a year ago.
It was a year ago,
but it was a similar day to whatever Bryce was researching.
Wow. Yeah. So it was like, so
I thought it was too that they announced that he hadn't been officially announced dead. And it got posted like an hour before he was determined dead.
That's like the Michael Jackson thing too. That was like, and whenever TMZ is the first people on the scene, people are like, okay, let's wait until somebody else confirms it.
I'll tell you what though, TMZ has been accurate a lot.
Sometimes they're wrong though. Sometimes they're wrong.
It's not National Enquirer, Bat Boy.
I really was. I got a text from a friend who knows him through stunt work and. They were just like, did you hear about Paul? Like, keep everybody in your prayers. Yeah. It's like a big tragedy. And so I was like, what are you talking about? So I'm on Twitter. And I, like, for whatever reason, and I think it's because he's so young and it kind of makes you think about your own mortality in some way, where it's like, you just don't know what's going to happen.
Right. And well, that's what I wanted to ask you, though, because he's one of the first people that you ever
interviewed. He was my very first drunken interview.
Can you tell me about that, how that went down?
Yeah. I went to Brazil for the Fast and Furious for 5. Which was amazing. It was my first junket away, and he was my first interview, and it was like, the beach is behind him, and he's like sitting there hanging out with no shoes on, and you walk up and you're like, oh my gosh, like, I've told you this, but I didn't think I was going to be taken aback by how attractive he is, and I totally was.
And he's super chill. He's super chill also.
Yeah. He's super chill now, and he asked me a question. He was like, where are you from? And I was like, well, I was born in California. And he's like, no. I meant, like, what outlet are you from?
Oh, that's great.
I was like, G4. So I felt like a total jerk. And he was like, no, it's totally fine. Don't worry about it. And he was just really kind and sweet. And then we ran into him later.
Yeah.
Just hanging out at the hotel. And we'd been drinking. So we were, like, singing songs in Portuguese.
Together? Just the two of you?
Not him. Like, a couple of my friends and I. He walks by and he hears us singing it, and he just, like, pops over and starts singing with us, and he's like, have a great night, guys, and just, like, keeps going on his way.
Yeah, I mean, nice. Every report was that the guy was just a really cool dude, and look, a lot of comments from Facebook and Twitter, and go, oh, you know, people don't give a shit, you old, make fun of him with his acting and stuff. Was he the best actor? No, not really. He wasn't a good actor. He wasn't. But that doesn't take away from the fact that the guy, from what he did in charity and what he did in life.
He made fun movies. He had a screen presence about him,
He absolutely did. And like we said, he was a likable bad actor, whatever. But
there you go.
But the fact was, too, what got me, it was on Facebook when these cretins, I'll call them, cretins, were...
Good word.
We're making fun... We're
it's a good dad word.
We're making Fast and Furious jokes, like, hours after. It's like, dude, this guy, he was a husband, he was, you know, he was a brother, he was a father. It's like, you don't...
He has a 13.
Yeah.
Just because you saw him, no, dude. There's no...
Look, here's what I'll...
You saw him in movies does not desensitize the fact that he's a human being.
Here's what I'll say about that, is that I really appreciate when people take risks doing comedy, and I think that I kind of have the mantra that anything is funny, but there's very, very narrow windows. Yeah. Like, it's not a wide berth to make, like, a cancer joke, you know? It's got to be a very, very cutting thing. And
6 months from now, or 5 months from now.
But it all gets, because everybody is trying to make jokes on Twitter, and it's like, it's just, if it's not funny, you probably shouldn't tweet it, but I'm not going to tell anybody what to say and what not to say. It's never been my sense of humor anyway, so I was trying to think when that came through. I'm like, I wonder if I should post a tweet if I don't like doing the RIP shit either. I just don't like, so I tweeted something about my mom playing,
You're not coming from the
seven. Getting really worked out.
I just went to my mom playing Wars with Friends because she's got a new boyfriend. I don't like
it. Coming from, like, if Dave Attell throws out a tweet and it's funny, you're like, oh, it's Dave Attell. Do I still think he should have done it? No, but you know, I'm not talking about those people also, and I still don't think that they should do it either. But I'm talking about people, just some schmuck sitting around going, oh, it's funny, I'm gonna make a car joke now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That ass. I don't care what you say, but it's like, he has a kid.
That's what, like, I'm saying. Yeah.
His daughter's gonna read the stuff that people are tweeting. Right. Well, and everybody can relate to that on some level.
I totally agree.
Well, I want to spin this thing forward just a little bit, too, because where does the Fast and Furious franchise go from here, do you guys think?
It's going to put a delay on the
movies. Yeah, they show Tyrese at the crash site.
Yeah.
Them together, long
yeah, time. Well, I think the big thing is, like, is you want to know if Vin Diesel is able to continue, if Vin Diesel wants to try to keep going. Because if Vin Diesel's not on board, then you really don't have a movie. But if Vin Diesel's like, yeah, we should honor his memory and try to keep going, just write it into the script, then you still have a franchise. Because it's very sad that he died, and that's the tragedy in this situation. But there's a lot of jobs and and billions of dollars going around the table here, because this is going to be the biggest movie. Even if Paul Walker was still alive and they were making it, this still might be the biggest movie in the franchise to date, because the franchise rebounded so greatly. So
yeah, and I think
I would bet that they continue on it was such a, like, he loved doing them. He was a car guy, and so it's like, yes, there's definitely going to be some downtime, and they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do, because they're not done filming. They weren't done filming his stuff.
Right.
So how do you rework a script and work that into it and give people enough time to mourn and get back to set?
And there's been many instances where this has happened before.
With Spartacus. You know,
and Gladiator. I mean, The Crow. I mean, there's...
Gladiator?
Yeah.
Who died on Gladiator?
What's that?
Reed.
Oliver Reed. Thank you. Oliver Reed.
I think our guest knows all the
more than we do. Oliver Reed died. Oliver Reed was supposed to live in Gladiator.
But I gotta go back and watch that.
And because when he passed away, they shot a scene with him from the back, and it was a stunt double, obviously, and then they killed his character. But
interesting.
Yeah. So I mean, look, there are ways around it. And it's not just the Vin Diesel thing. It's the fact that Universal has a lot of money in this franchise, and they have, like you said, they're already 75-80% done with the film already. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's a very tough thing. But you know, you got to move on, and he'll be honored. The people loved him, and it just sucks that his family lost him so young.
I was his body double for Into the Blue. Did you guys know that?
Not.
I was the guy jumping in and out of the water. Those are the abs that you see are mine.
Lies. I mean, I think the hard part too is going to be when the film comes out.
Yeah.
Because they're just fun movies, so it's like, it's definitely going to bring a different vibe. Like, say with.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight,
right.
You know, when Heath Ledger passed away.
Still had that dark tone.
Yeah, but these ones are just, like, fun, light movies, so it's going to be a little bit interesting when the movie comes out to see how people receive it.
It's just going to be tough to watch him when he comes on there. People are going to be, like, it's just going to be sad in general. I mean, he has a new movie coming out this month.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was just doing press for it.
Crave, I think it's called.
Mm.
So that's it's tough. But anyway, so... Paul Walker, gone too young, 40 years old. That's nuts. So again,
rest in peace. Thoughts and prayers to the Walkers, to his family, his friends, and everybody else. And with that, I think we should probably welcome our guest to see if he can save this.
Let's bring him in, guys. Again, like we said, we are. If you're watching this on YouTube, then you see the new studio that we're at.
Hi.
If you're not used to this, we are coming to you from Drama 34, the production company that we have partnered up with, and one of the men who is responsible for teaming up with us, God help his soul, that would be David Fickus. David Fickus joining the Schmoes. No,
woo! Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, now we welcome in David Fickus, and right off the bat, Dave, I gotta.
What do you got, Ken?
We want the mic closer to Fickus.
Turn that mic on.
You know.
Can you hear me?
Perfect.
You get,
this isn't radio. We're not professional.
You get Fickus in here, and you mentioned God help us, and I look over the whiteboard that's behind Ken Knapsack. And it says God with an arrow pointing to... If anybody should go by the name God in here, it's the guy who let us use his space, our guest David Fickus.
But I wrote that for Ken, because he was working so hard getting this all set up. He did good.
And Ken, see, here's the thing.
You did good, kid.
Doesn't Ken... He looks like a tortured, like, Ben Franklin right now. Like, he just invented shit, and he can't really control how it's working, where the power's going.
I was thinking, I cannot wait to train JTI. David, so before we get into just
all
what...
Before we get into my list of Paul Walker jokes, I had a bunch ready to... No.
He's one of those guys. I blocked him from our Twitter.
So,
I wanted to ask you first, was before we get into Drama 3-4 and our collaboration.
How much you like us.
Yeah. More or less. You were a fan of the podcast.
Yeah. Well, I go back with Riley, so I've known Riley Mark Riley. Oh, okay. He's in the room.
Oh, whatever happened to that dude?
He's
home. You all shut the hell up.
He really introduced me to you guys. And actually, when I was peanut gathering, I was like, that's what I do in my car when I listen to you guys, is like,
you correct us.
I know the answer to that.
Mark's not pronouncing that name right.
Yeah. I've been listening to the show for a while now, and it's great. I mean, one of the things that...
Who's your favorite?
You guys are all tied for first, right below Tiffany.
Oh, man.
It's fine. But yeah, the show, I think we really have a similar philosophy when it comes to films and stuff like that. And actually, I've ranted in this room quite a bit about movies and where movies are and things like that. And listening to you guys, I always go, oh, wow, other people think like that, which is nice.
And it is really cool.
And then Van Halen. And then there's Van Halen.
Oh, yeah, the Van Halen connection between me and Thicke as well.
Jeff missed it, but he was playing acoustic guitar Van Halen stuff.
Little guitars, yeah.
He was playing some little guitars.
Well, that's what pisses me off about Thicke, is because I'm a huge Van Halen fan, so I can talk all day about the band, but Thicke can actually play guitar. And it's like, man, you win.
Yeah, no, that's it. My very first acting gig years ago, I sword fought Fabio in a movie called A Time for Romance.
Wait, what?
Yeah. That's, wow. That is real. And
were you shirtless?
The very first of the check, it came in the mail. I went out and bought an Eddie Van Halen Music Man. And I was
yeah.
Guitar.
The Ernie Ball? Yeah.
He was shirtless. He was kind of...
Well, Fabio has never actually... Fun fact, he's never actually worn a shirt in his life.
No. It's, you know.
I still always think about how he got hit in the face.
Yep.
Did you know...
Roller coaster.
Yeah. He was at one point going, oh, I'm known as the It's Not Butter guy. If only something would erase that.
Did you know, this is a fun true story, is that happened in my hometown of Williamsburg, Virginia at Busch Gardens, which is literally a stone's throw from where you can see our house from the highest roller coaster at Busch Gardens. And when the summer that happened, they actually hired, because that was the beginning of the summer when the ride debuted, they hired a guy. It was two kids' summer job to chase away the birds.
Oh, man.
So that they wouldn't hit anybody else. And guess what? Mark Ellis applied and did not get that job. I was not even qualified.
You couldn't even chase the bird.
To be the bird chaser for Williamsburg Busch Gardens.
They probably could have hired Fabio to ride the front car from then on forward. And you can go and like ride with him, watch him switch the birds out. And been a better
watch this male model break his nose.
It's already ruined.
I remember, though, I was doing that gig, and he was talking to me, and he goes, you know, if this goes really well, I might get to do Thor. And that was a big, like, will he be the next Arnold? And if you've ever seen Fabio at Time for Romance, he didn't get the job.
Yeah, oh, that's too bad. But
the dude from Home Improvement did.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
No, not Jonathan Taylor Thomas, the other one. There's like a sci-fi Thor movie.
Oh, really?
It's really bad.
I'm sure all those movies that they did, Captain America, the Thor, Spider-Man movies.
Yeah, they have a lineage that isn't so bright, yeah.
All right, David, so you listened to the podcast, now, again, because the thing was, you and Riley were buddies, and then that was, we do, because you and I have talked about movies, and we have the same philosophies.
For sure.
As far as, and just kind of the way we just all shoot the shit about films.
I feel like you guys are on our first date, right?
We are on a date. And Drama 3-4, we're really dating. We're thinking of sleeping together.
We're courting.
You know who's on a first date with right now? Schmoggle.
Yeah.
Schmoggle's getting to know David
Victor.
That's really
good. Please be kind to me. Please be kind to me.
Well, we want them to know about you guys because, again, we're going to be working with you a lot.
And tomorrow night.
Yes.
Which we have not promoted enough here. When I say we, I mean you guys. we have an offline film festival. That's our first real collaboration.
Movie night.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
Very excited about that.
Yeah.
Let's just get right into it then. Too. Why don't we tell Schmoegel? I don't know how much we can talk about what we shot because we're gonna kind of.
Yeah, that's a secret.
That's a secret. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we did shoot something.
Yes, we did.
Talk about that.
We did.
We shot something that was.
And we're gonna. It's a world premiere. We have a few premieres. We have a few premieres.
Yeah. What can we see? Because I want to make sure that I'm asking you.
I would keep this thing tightly wrapped, boys. Yeah. I wouldn't even because then you start talking about it. And it's like, oh, we can give away that, and then something else slips out
when they can see it because not everybody lives in Los Angeles.
Well, we're gonna premiere it. We have two screenings. We have an 8 p.m. and a 10. PM. This is the Acme Theater on La Brea in Los Angeles. It's Schmoville. For you LA Schmoville people, please come out. It'll be really fun. You get to schmooze with the schmoes afterwards. I made a t-shirt about that.
Schmoozeville.
I don't know what's worse, that quote or the fact that neither Christian and I could come up with that. That was right there.
It's right there.
Well, you guys are always, you know, you're always in a studio. You're never, you know.
We're schmoaning it up.
Schmooze.
Yeah.
that was worse.
So we're doing two screenings, which is tomorrow night, because this is airing Thursday, right? Because we're live. I'm live tweeting this right now. Yeah. And 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And, you know, it's a series of short films. And these are all short films that, you know, Riley and I have really programmed the night. Right. And they're just films, like, sometimes when people are watching films online, like, you know, you don't have all the time. Like, if you were going to get your mail... and somebody said, hey, watch my 11-minute movie, you'd be annoyed.
Right.
But this is for movies that maybe you want to sit in a theater and you want to see, you know, more cinematic films and stuff that you
and
don't...
It's fun, though, too. That's the thing with David, though, too, is that you got a really great sense of humor. So, and again, from where you guys know out there, we like to crack jokes. We like the funny stuff. David does, too. And, I, again, not giving anything away. I can just tell you
Christian.
That a lot of fun.
Christian, okay.
And we laughed a lot.
Yeah, and I'm really
he's
looking...
Too. He's, like, teasing. He's teasing.
Yeah, he's going to... Just don't pick on that other udder, because that's going to... It's a big secret, and we can't let people know about it.
But I can tell you...
I didn't mean to use a cow reference. Don't pick on the other tit, is what I meant to say. Hmm. Yeah.
And no reference of Tiffany Stead's penis this episode.
Oh, my God. Oh, we left that at the Toad Hop studio.
Yeah.
Sounds like acne.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna stop.
Should we give another tease and say that you might see people in it that you
You're gonna see people in and around a Schmoville that you're gonna recognize in a brand new way, and it's very exciting. And then we put this thing to bed.
And there it happened. For those of you at home, Ken's water broke.
Oh no! Not Ken. God. God.
Dr. Pepper did not.
The Almighty who created heaven and earth.
Yeah, JTI. Well, that was the best of that. That's what JTI. That's why if Copster was here, he'd already have a helicopter and bring it in the hotel.
Bring in a straw.
JTI just made a face and looked at it like the Home Alone kid. Put his hands over his face and looked at it. So Ellis spilled something.
I like that Ken has not said anything. He's just like.
Not at all.
What do you mean? Ellis didn't spill anything. What are you looking at me for? Ken, God dropped the Diet Dr. Pepper. Oh, okay, yeah, now let's bring it back to the guest. Sorry, David.
How's the temperature in here? Do you guys want to turn the AC on?
No, I love it.
Okay.
Are you trying to say that you're hot?
No, I was just checking.
No.
I wanted to be a grocery
He's reminding us that this is his building.
What I wanted to talk about is not before.
As Riley takes off his shirt in the background.
Slowly. Jacket.
Tiffany,
yes.
Would you like to know more about Drama 34?
No.
You don't?
Just kidding. Of course I do.
She wants to know about Dr. Pepper and Riley taking his jacket off.
You ain't no Fabio Riley. So Drama 34 is a production company that you co-founded.
I did an independent film years ago called The Basement in the Kitchen, and you can see it on Netflix, not streaming, but it's called Angels and Aliens, The Basement in the Kitchen. So I founded the company to make the indie feature. And then I did the kind of film festival circuit from, like, 1999 to 2000. At that time, I really was, like, getting into making short films and started doing sketch comedy. And all that ended up doing, it kind of led our kind of collective of actors and writers and musicians to doing a show on VH1 called I Hate My 30s, if anyone
knows. Yeah.
That'd be great. But and then we got into web stuff, and we just basically done everything. And my partner, who is not here, Bryce Beckham, also was a childhood star. He was on the show Mr. Belvedere.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Did you not get that?
You did not know that?
No!
That's Wesley from Mr. Belvedere.
Dude, I told you that like 5 times.
Yeah, but like a lot of the shit you say, just in one ear, out the other.
Like you talking to Angie at a date.
Oh, my God.
So Bryce is my partner in crime. He's my writing partner. We're both actors. Basically, we've just been working together for years. We met in college at USC. I'm a Trojan person. If you don't bring it up right now, because it was a tough weekend.
Sarkeesian.
Yeah, that's okay, I guess. I've just been working on all mediums. I've done digital, television, feature films. I mean, theater. We do what we can. Play some guitar.
Well, that's the thing. So what is it right now like?
Where's my scattered focus?
You know, but the cliche. I guess the cliche is what gets you going? What excites you about making these? About making videos? About like what the creative process?
What really got you?
What gets you now? Like, what makes you excited to do what you do?
You know, I don't know. I mean, my background was very strange. I always think I was part David Lynch and part Zucker Brothers. Like if that could tie together, that would kind of become me. For years, my heroes growing up were Martin Short and John Ritter and Eddie Van Halen, and it was like a weird and Chevy Chase, and you know, so I was big into like sketch comedy and love.
Yeah, I know.
Stuff. I have an autographed copy of Fletch that I met him in college with Rick Berger.
Look at Ellis.
Yeah, no, it's exciting. But occasionally you do like you, as an adult, you don't make a lot of new friends. you have your friends from high school, and you have your friends from college, and occasionally a Harloff, a Makuga. a Knapsack, a Riley, because he'll feel bad if I leave him out. Then you have a Ficus, yeah. Right? And then you have an intern that'll help you keep track of all your friends, like what Josh does.
Watch you spill things.
And so it's kind of cool to meet like a kindred spirit. And again, when you talk about the creative process and how you really will do anything, this is a compliment, but you have that desperate need to get your sensibilities out there to the public, whether it's through film or through acting, you're doing a commercial or you're producing something, you just want to entertain people. And yeah. I think that we can all relate to that.
Yeah. I remember when James Brown passed away, sadly, a friend of mine called and said,
James Brown, the singer?
The singer, James Brown.
He's dead?
He didn't make it.
When did he die?
Well, right after Get Out of Prison.
Get on that, JTR.
Did you not know that James Brown died?
I must have filed it away.
But you still think Max Van Sydow is dead, right?
He's alive.
He's thought he's been dead for years. He's not dead.
We had a debate in our Shutter Island review. We actually on camera bet. I bet him $1 that wasn't Max Van Sydow. Oh, he was dead. And
Strange Brews. Max Van Sydow, right?
No, Flash Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
The Exorcist, a-holes.
Deeper cut. I don't know that.
He's the guy that exercised the day. Come on.
It's me.
Yeah.
Backtracking to
James.
I don't know. I got sidetracked.
As a kid, you loved James Brown.
James Brown.
Oh, yeah. When James Brown passed away, yeah. I did have a friend who called me and said, "Congratulations! Now you're the hardest working man in showbiz." And I was like, "That's nice." Although I'm exhausted.
I feel good.
Yeah, but I've always, it's funny. Like people used to say that when I was playing music growing up and acting and stuff, they would be like, "Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?" And it turned into, writing music for shows. And it's like that background with music has paid off so many times. Right. Like I Hate My 30s, we did the entire soundtrack. One of the big short films that we got a lot of that went to Slamdance in 2002 was Deliverance the Musical that we did. I wrote the music to. And it was, those two worlds have always... I mean, entertainment. It's just entertainement.
Yeah,
but you got to have the sense of humor to do it, though.
You also have to have a work ethic, because any cokehead at a bar will be like, yeah, man, I play music and I make movies and we should do this. We should get in this business together. And it never goes anywhere. But you actually have these talents that you developed and cultivated.
I'm 100% good at all of them. That's it. I can't memorize lines, but I can act.
You've been doing this now for a while. How long have you been doing the Drama 3-4?
Drama 3-4 technically started legally in 1997, which is weird because I'm 17 years old. and then we kind of became the partnership and got the first office in 2003. So we've been the combination that we have been for the last 10 years has been me and my partner Anna and Josh Uranga, who's our other partner, and Bryce Beckham, who I mentioned earlier. And so we've gotten this office. We've been here for a couple of years, and we're just working.
Yeah. Where does the name come from?
Sorry,
I just want to know where the name Drama 3-4 comes from. It's like Drama 3/4,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and we have a joke because everyone says Drama 3-4. It's Drama 3-4. So I'm like, no, it's 3-4. but it was actually my high school acting class was Drama 3-4, and it was a cool thing to be a part of. And when I was in high school, we went to a really eclectic, weird high school where
you didn't go to one of those performance art ones, did you?
No, it wasn't. It was public school. It was a great public school. It was Arcadia, California. Go Apaches. And basically, I was in a theater program. We had like a closed circuit television station. I was an anchor and a reporter. And I thought every high school, we made a whole, which you guys would love, but we made an hour-long remake of Terminator 2.
Oh, cool.
And when my hair used to be down to here, I played Linda Hamilton. I was great. We had one guy who played all the secondary roles, cool. Which was fantastic. Actually, John Connor's in the room. That's my buddy.
Wow.
John Connor.
Nice.
But we made like a, we did a thing called The Night Show, and we made like a 50, it was 50 minutes of Terminator 2, and we invited, putting on shows.
In high school?
Same thing.
My high school had a rope.
Oh, I wrote and directed.
That was our entertainment.
I wrote and directed my own play.
You've been a creative dude doing this kind of stuff for a long time. Let me ask you a question, too, because this is something that Schmoble always likes to hear about. So a guy like yourself, you have that creative bug, obviously, when you're younger and you're performing. How do you, if especially now, because things have changed from when you and I were in high school and in college. Like, so kid out there right now who's 14, 15 years old listening, and he wants to do what you do, and he wants to make videos, and he wants to get his friends involved. What does he do?
Well, it's really different now because he can just do it. I mean, that's, you know, you have YouTube and you have the internet. I mean, that is something we didn't totally have.
But the difference with that is you can shoot for YouTube and just throw it up their back.
Sure.
How do you do in as far as the creative process? And everybody has a different process.
Right.
Like, as far as what would you recommend to somebody who wants to make it as a profession? Because you can just shoot yourself and do whatever you want to do and put it up on YouTube. But how do you make it a career doing what you do?
You know, if they figure that out, they should call me. That would be fantastic.
Well, you're only 2 years older than them.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Those freshmen. You know, I can only really speak from my experience, and my experience was just keep doing shit and not wait for people to tell me what was okay to do. I just kept doing things. And my mom told me I was going to theater school. She was like, oh, you need to go to USC.
Wow.
I was like, oh, okay.
So your mom was supportive of
Yeah, my parents were great. I mean, they are always, I mean, they my house growing up was where we had band practice, and my brother was in a band. And
how was your parents also? Yeah.
My parents were wolves, and they found me in the jungle as a young lad.
And Tiffany, this is for you, too. You guys, because my dad was very supportive, too. I was curious. Were your parents pretty supportive of the fact that you wanted to do comedy?
When they were sober. I don't think any parent likes to hear their kids say, I'm going to be a comedian.
Right.
Like, I really don't think any parent wants to hear their kids say that. So it took some warming up.
Well, nice.
But they're awesome parents.
I never knew that. That's the beauty of this intimate, this setting now, too, is I know you. But I never, because your dad obviously listens to the show. He's very supportive now. And you've been doing well for yourself now. So if yes, now, are they supportive? Yeah. Were they always supportive of everything you wanted to do?
We have talked about this. My dad did, fight choreography when he was younger.
On what movie?
On Dolemite.
Yes.
You're welcome, Dad.
That is awesome.
Wait, your dad did fight choreography, and he listens to the podcast?
Here's the thing.
Mr. Smith, that joke I made a couple weeks ago.
Well,
that's shit. We're just having fun.
Dolemite, they missed a lot.
Well, and the thing is that, when he started doing that, it was a time when, the black exploitation films, and he were, mixed ethnicity. So he doesn't look like your stereotypical African-American. He didn't have an afro. He had straight hair. So after doing that movie, he couldn't really get cast because they wanted that, afro, very typical look.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like, I can't do this. So he went back to working, normal stuff because he got married.
I feel like
it's kind of, reliving, getting to live out what he wanted to do, kind of. And they've always been really supportive. I have voice lessons. I recorded a demo when I was younger, but they always made me go to school, focus on schooling.
So you and David could join a band.
Well, but everybody here, though, has supportive parents for the most part.
Yeah, they were cool. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Blue Alice is mine.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh, my God. That's your birthday present.
Yeah, exactly. I had Hayslip do that.
You see this first date that's happening.
It's unbelievable.
I know.
It's Ficus and Smith band show.
Maybe we should leave the room and go back to the drama queen.
We just planned out a birthday present for you.
After the show, by the way, I'm going to...
July 7th, ladies.
For my birthday years ago, Allison Hayslip did a slow piano version of Dreams, Van Halen.
Uh-oh.
I'll share that.
Allison Hayslip also on the show. At one point.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
All right, so what we're going to do here, David, is we want to get some... We're going to kind of torture you a little bit here.
I'm ready.
Oh, God.
Now, we're going to bring in JTI.
Yeah.
Who is also...
doing some research on the topic.
Now, JTI does a... He's going to share the mic with you there for a second.
Sure.
Now, JTI does a segment, him and Costner, a segment on Schmo Plus, and it is called Schmo's Choice. And what this is basically they have two movies,
mm-hmm.
and you pick what movie you would save and which you blow off the face of the earth.
Okay.
So we're gonna how many rounds? We're doing four rounds.
Yeah, four
rounds. We'll do four rounds, and everybody here is gonna.
How do you win? How do you win?
There's no winning.
I want to win.
I think the fans on Twitter.
The edge is what keeps you going. That's what I tell the
people. The fans on Twitter are gonna let you know, and
okay.
you're.
We might all agree with.
Oh, great! So we're setting up Schmoville to hate me because I'm gonna be like, Shawshank.
Well,
I hate it. Get rid of it.
Yeah, well, we're all gonna play too.
We're all giving answers.
Yeah, we're all.
And then we can tear each other to shreds.
Now, while the fans are listening to this too, your Twitter is @dficus.
Yeah.
F-I-C-K-A-S with a D in front of it.
Yep. Okay.
And JTI, be careful. Don't get too close to the mic because it'll pop. So go to, let's see. So round one, everybody, we'll go Tiffany, Christian,
Why
Mark, David.
Oh, so JT and I, we're not a team?
No, it's no team.
Okay.
You'll see
us.
I'm
so excited.
I'm excited to be your team.
JTI, go ahead. What's your first movie?
All right, we're going to start off with a kind of a mind bender. With these choices, I like to keep them somewhat similar.
Okay.
Whether it be
oh, my God. Just tell us the movie. No, I'm kidding.
Let the kids.
He gets mic time.
Here we go. First one is The Matrix
okay.
versus Inception.
Oh. All right. So,
okay, Tiffany Smith.
What do you get rid of?
Inception.
You get rid of Inception and keep Matrix?
Yeah.
Wow, how come?
I think because the Matrix, I don't know that Inception would have happened if the Matrix didn't happen.
Interesting criteria.
And it's the best Keanu Reeves in a while. I just love it.
So that's like going back in time and killing Hitler type of thing?
Yeah.
Like,
okay, yeah.
I don't understand. I don't disagree with that point at all.
Bending.
I don't disagree with it at all, although I am going to get rid of the Matrix and keep Inception.
Wow.
Inception.
You
want to
keep those.
Yeah, Inception is one of my favorite.
It's in every trailer now. Every trailer.
It is.
Yeah. Inception is one of my favorite movies of all time. And I think that it's just one of these movies that it just stayed with me for a long time. So I agree with you that Matrix did some stuff revolutionary that maybe you probably couldn't have done without Matrix. But I'm just gonna, this is something that movie does, and Nolan's style to it, and the fact that it was a movie that when you hear about it, sounded like a $20 million movie, maybe $15 million, smaller film, and it was a big blockbuster film, and it was original, and it wasn't a franchise already, and it did something that movies just don't do blockbuster-wise. And it was original, and I loved it.
Okay, you guys have...
That could have been both of
those. Yeah, you could have just said that could have been...
I don't even know which one you were talking about.
The Matrix, to me, I think that... I mean, that's true.
They're both good movies.
That was a sleeper. When that
That's
came out,
why this is hard.
I'm
going to spell it like this. I'm definitely taking Inception because Inception doesn't have two shitty sequels that really make me hate the first one. Because I liked the first Matrix. I've seen it a couple times. The second Matrix, I turned off within 10 minutes and had to take like 9 Advil. It made my head hurt so much. I didn't understand what was happening. And Inception is just, it's a great narrative. I'm really interested because the Matrix is shit that, like, I don't ever really want to think about doing. I'm taking the other pill. But Inception, it's kind of cool to layer your dreams and like break into people's heads and stuff. So Inception.
I like the thought process behind Inception. Sorry.
I think, not to just flirt with Tiffany, but I think I'm going to keep the Matrix, and I can break it down this way, which is the Matrix I can watch over and over again. That scene, like when I got like THX the first time in my apartment, I was like, I want to watch that shoot up the hall scene over and over and over again. Inception, similar to like a movie like The Game, like I don't feel like I need to rewatch it over and over again. There's something about the Matrix that I can rewatch. And Inception, I feel like, you know, it's you're learning secrets the whole time, and then once you know the secrets, but it's still this is a Sophie's choice.
There needs to be we need to restrict the conjecture. I think once you give your point for why you picked the movie, then this isn't court. There's no rebuttal. And now what we're gonna do is JTS says the second one, then Christian goes first, and then because Tiffany had to go first. Now you have to go first. Then I'll have to go first on the next one. Yeah.
Okay.
This is four.
Okay. Yeah. This is how the date with Angelica went. I just told her what to do.
I'm a big comic book fan, and I think one of the hardest things to do in a comic book movie is a sequel. It's only done well several times. And one of my favorite series, the X-Men series. Mm-hmm. And the big debate for me is what's better, X-Men 2 or X-Men First Class?
What would you get rid of this? People are going to crucify me for this, but I'm keeping X-Men First Class. I love that movie. X-Men First 2 is incredible. That moment with Wolverine and X-Men 2.
When he freezes the Dr. Pepper.
And X-Men 2, when he goes after that dude in Wolverine Berserk style.
That's, yeah.
The greatest moments ever. And the whole storyline with Stryker was great.
Uh-huh.
There's just something about X-Men First Class for me was that setup between Magneto and Professor X. And like I always say, it was the Anakin... it was the Anakin-Obi-Wan relationship I never got in Star Wars. It's what I wanted to see about Fassbender and McAvoy were just so great as those characters. I'll go with Ellis's points on sometimes those kids were a little, you know, the kid portion of it was a little too silly sometimes. But didn't matter. I thought I thought Henry Jackman's score was incredible. I thought Henry Jackman's score was incredible, and I thought that just the directing by Brian Vaughn was just out of
control. Well, another one of Ellis's points is that it's great to watch these little kids play mutants, but I want to see the varsity team. I want to see the starters, and I want to see Wolverine and Cyclops and Beast, and Beast wasn't in X2. I want to see Professor X and Magneto as old, the way that I remember them from the comic books. I think it's great to see them in the 60s, and it's cute that they're trying out for the team, but X2 is just the most badass X-Men movie ever. I'm taking that one. Or I'm keeping that one.
I just want to point out that you guys are clearly a wonderful Siskel and Ebert, and that rebuttal was just fantastic. I pictured you in the like on Channel 7 in the 80s just talking to each other, yelling about movies.
Some people say Siskel and Ebert. I say old married couple at Red Lobster.
Yeah, I'm sure they went to Red Lobster, Siskel and Ebert. I'm going to agree with Christian on this. I just, it's funny. Sequels are really tricky, and after X2, they went into – it got all goofy for me, and I feel like the First Class felt like a fresh, new reboot, which is – and what is the next – I mean, I don't crucify me, Schmoville.
He is Days of Future Past, nerd.
What's the next thing they're doing right now?
Days of Future Past.
Right, okay.
And that's why, again, I know we're not supposed to do too much rebellion, but that's why I think the First Class works. So.
Yeah, this is the rule. I love it. Break it. Break it all you want. Oh, it's here.
And it should be listened – it should be adhered to.
I just think that – because going off of his point.
You're going off the voicemail you left me when you first saw X-Men First Class.
Your point, though, that I think Qui-Gon Jinn was amazing in Batman Begins. Those opening scenes, I was like, why was – you're the same guy. Why isn't that in there? But when you're talking about the Anakin stuff that was missing, that's how I felt about Batman Begins.
Tiffany, go ahead and say why you should pick X2.
Tiffany, you're in good company. Believe in your dreams.
Is it a really tough one?
It is hard, because here's the thing.
You've had 5 minutes to think about it.
Without X2, you wouldn't get to where we are now, but I'm going to have to...
I don't know if that's true.
I'm going to say First Class.
Nice.
You're going back to the history thing. That's like Matrix.
Yeah, I know. Because I think that they did a really good job of bringing the emotion back to it, and it wasn't just a superhero fun times movie. There definitely were awesome sequences where you got to see amazing stuff, but
If I can trade emotion for the guy with claws, I'm going to take the guy with claws.
You get both of those things.
And he gets his own now, which is really amazing.
That moment between Magneto and Professor Xavier, when he's teaching him to move the satellite, and he gets
so
all great. Emotional, all and you're like, oh!
And that just shows you the performances between those two guys and what they did.
And I think that movie really reminded me of what X-Men is about for people watching. Because you're like, okay, it's really about being an outsider and being able to embrace whatever is different about you. And it sounds so cheesy. I'm like, be who you are, kids!
So the kids thing worked with you, right?
Yeah, okay.
So First Class wins that, but I still want to see that was from this panel. I want to see from around the room. Hey, Riley, so scream it out. Which one are you taking, First Class or X2?
X2.
That's my boy. Well done.
Hooks. First Class.
First Class? Boys?
First class
wins.
Ken?
Wow. First Class wins. Oh, Ken.
Doctor?
Ken hasn't seen an X-Men movie since he picked up his underwear this morning.
Yeah, Phantom Menace.
He probably read the comic now,
huh, Ken? Yeah. No, he hasn't. Ken just realized he was here 5 seconds ago.
JTI, what are you taking?
What do you got?
X2 for me. It's tough. Listen, I'm going to do on Watch the Show on Schmoes Plus. You'll see all my answers in live.
Oh, okay.
Short answer, X2.
Nice plug.
You can find both JTI and Copser, who do this show, on Schmo Plus, youtube.com/Schmo Plus, and they do this every week. And this one will be up tomorrow, Friday, I believe, is the new show. All right, JTI, round three, what do we got?
All right, so both these films won Best Picture. They both feature somebody of lesser intelligence.
Is that why I'm going first?
Yeah.
I want to guess him. I want to Forrest Gump versus Rain Man.
It's a tough call because I really like Rain Man, but yeah. Forrest Gump has just this element of magic to it, and even I can watch that movie, and even though Jenny's a total bitch and only sleeps with him when she knows she has AIDS and is about to die, I think it's spoiler because I think it's still I think Forrest Gump is just such a fun movie to watch, and it's so much fun to watch Forrest's progression, and so I think that I could re-watch Forrest Gump over and over and over again, and plus if it is Breaking the Tide, then that soundtrack is just classic Americana.
David?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Ellis on this one.
Thank you, David.
Were we talking about the Forrest Gump soundtrack, too, and just how the music in that movie is...
It's two double discs or something, and like that's all my family listened to in the car for like 3 years.
It opened with that Creedence song. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I was a big fan of Forrest Gump and Zemeckis, and that was the special effects that he was doing and that he was getting toward. I mean, it was just groundbreaking and great, and Tom Hanks, that was his back-to-back Oscars, mm-hmm. and well deserved, and Rain Man is amazing, and I love that movie, and it's hard to that actually is a tough choice. The other ones are a little easier for me.
Time for Wapner.
I mean, yes. Which one I'm gonna pick?
Forrest Gump.
that I would get rid of?
The one you've seen?
Oh, no, she hates Tom Hanks.
I don't hate him.
Oh, yeah, what's your problem?
I don't hate Tom Hanks.
No,
he's just not my favorite.
You wanted it to be known. You said, guess why? Because I hate fucking Tom Hanks.
Is now a bad time to give you that bosom buddy Santa box?
Happy birthday. He's not my favorite actor of all time. Wow. He's a very nice man.
So he doesn't have to be your favorite.
He's not. I don't enjoy him that much.
So you keep Rain Man.
So I definitely keep Rain Man.
Okay.
Because it's an amazing movie.
Because it's Tom Cruise.
Also because, like how you said, I just don't enjoy many of the characters in Forrest Gump. I don't find many of them to be redeeming, and so it's hard for me to watch it.
It is weird. You know what always bothers me about Forrest Gump is that Sheinfeld named Forrest after the Ku Klux Klan leader. It's like, you're really starting off on a bad foot there, Forrest.
Yeah,
I am going to agree with them. Forrest Gump is by far for me. This is probably the easiest one I've had. I like Rain Man a lot. I do, but if Forrest Gump's on TV, I stop and watch it. Rain Man, I go, oh, that was a good movie, and then I find something else I'm watching. Like it's good. Performances are great. The back and forth.
What year did it come out?
87.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with 88 for Rain Man.
It was 87. Yeah. It was around that side. So like,
the Redskins were good when it came out.
What I think about Forrest Gump is that it did also what Terminator 2 did as far as special effects, like, and the way that it blended together. It just jumped the game a little bit too. And what Zemeckis did, and with the music, like you guys mentioned, and it just overall, I also think that it sent, yes, Philadelphia was a big move for Tom Hanks as well as far as acting, but there was just something that this performance, it just put him on a whole other level, I thought. So, Forrest Gump to me.
Well, put him on another level.
He got the accent from that kid, which I always loved that story. You know, the kid that they cast was the one who really talked like that.
Haley Joel Osment?
No. The kid who could run. The run Forrest with him.
Oh, that kid, yeah.
And then he was like, that accent's amazing. And he developed the whole character off of the kid. And I was like, that's, you know, you get best actor for just that kind of thievery.
All right, Rain Man or Forrest Gump? What do you keep?
Forrest Gump.
You keep Gump. And Cougs?
100% Gump.
Gump. Boys?
I keep Gump.
Gump.
All right.
Oh, Gump. Wow. The one girl in the room likes the Tom Cruise movie. That's so strange.
I don't hate him.
No, that's true.
Name an actor named Tom you like.
Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah. Ooh, that was good.
She doesn't. She absolutely does not.
She hates Anne Hathaway. Hates Anne Hathaway.
You know,
setting
up a joke.
Dude.
I was just thinking.
Shitter, get off the pot.
It was one of these moments. It was a moment that was going
to. Well, it doesn't mean you have to steamroll me for being a little bit quicker to the draw.
I feel like the time that came out, it just didn't. I was like real young.
I'm sorry.
You were four. Come on, at four you can appreciate those Vietnam scenes.
Let's go. We got to move on. We got one more round, right?
This is the last round.
Ficus kicks off.
She
ruined that wedding.
We have to say goodbye to David after this round, so let's give him a good one.
Okay, so at the end of every Schmo episode, Schmo's Choice, we basically give the audience the hardest one we can think of, because we want to know their opinion, then we tell you the winner based on the comments.
Wait, these weren't hard, the ones we already had?
But we tried to, you know, end it with a bang.
Wow, okay. end it with a fuck.
Originally, when I gave my answer, I thought I was a minority, but so far, according to the people online...
No.
Yeah, I'm just going to throw that in.
This is not the majority of people. There's 60 people who commented.
Still.
Wait until the rest of the audience comments.
This preamble is great. Can I get the choice?
Tell us.
The two films, which are probably the two best sequels of all time, are The Empire Strikes Back versus The Dark Knight.
Let's make it easy and don't give any reasoning. Just give the answer.
The Empire Strikes Back. Mark. I would keep
Tiffany. Okay, pass. Yeah. Christian.
Empire. What? Dark.
Dark Knight. Thank you.
Empire Strikes Back.
I'm gonna go Empire Strikes Back.
Ken.
What?
Yeah. Josh McCool.
Yeah. Stupid.
No. Sorry.
It's
gentlemen.
Why am I stupid?
Let's talk about this.
Wait, can we do some was Tom Hanks in The Empire Strikes Back?
Yeah. Now this is the thing though. Now
I do not understand.
Dark Knight is one of my favorite sequels of all time. I love
it. One of my favorite movies of all time. It's great.
I love that film. But you're talking over
Yoda.
You're talking Yoda? You're talking about I Am Your Father? This is the closest thing to Shakespeare-isms that you had. Dark Knight or Empire?
Empire.
Thank you.
But it's what you grew up with, too. Like, I grew up on Batman and Superman and superheroes, and so that has a much closer connection.
True. You're more comic books than you are Star Wars.
So you're gonna blame your parents on this.
I'm just saying that I have more of a visceral reaction to Batman than I do to Star Wars.
Right. Tiffany makes sense for also she works for DC,
gender.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure
she didn't pick Catwoman. Yeah, but the thing was, for me, excluding Tiffany, because I get your reason. You're a big comic book girl. You love
Batman. Well, like, what did you grow up on, though? Star Wars, right?
Yeah, but that's what I don't understand as far as... I don't agree with you. I think that when you have 2,000 people that comment on this video, you will see that Empire is
the majority. I was surprised by the small portion that commented. I thought it'd be heavily Empire.
Yeah. Well, I just look.
Empire is like a religion. It's a philosophy. It's like there is a lot of nerds. When I was that age and people were telling me teaching me about good and evil, like that is it. And Dark Knight is fantastic.
Empire.
Wearing the Star Wars T-shirt.
No, what Empire did, that in my humble opinion, is that nowadays when the sequel is coming out, the filmmakers always say, it's The Empire Strikes Back.
What's the twist? Back up a little bit.
You're
popping, Yodi.
Thank you so much, JT.
Thank you.
It was the worst applause break I've ever heard for a guest. Yeah.
It's still bad. And I remember Brian Singer having an interview saying it's The Empire Strikes Back of the X-Men franchise.
Fine.
Thank you, Tim. Fine. But I think that's when you're discussing Empire or Dark Knight. I mean, Empire set a standard that now is so heavily influenced in today's trilogies and today's films as the highest level of what you want to achieve in the second movie.
I know why you like Empire. It's because it gave you a character that you can win the celebrity impression dating game with. That's why.
Who's that?
Yodi. Do it.
Right. No, yeah. I won't do it. No, give me a cookie. Thank you.
Oh, wow. Way to go. That's very loud. Ken Knapsack's ears
I feel
off.
Like
it's
terrifying.
Yodi never heard Ken Knapsack.
Well,
I get it that it's amazing, but I think it really is on what you connect with.
I think that if we could, in a perfect world, we would get to have both movies, and guess what? We actually can. We can go home and watch The Dark Knight, followed by The Empire Strikes Back.
And as a kid, though, I remember Empire Strikes Back was kind of a blue ball movie. Like, there was definitely, when it ended, I was like, oh, we don't have the whole scene where we go get home?
My favorite is still Return of the Jedi out of the three. I still think Return of the Jedi is the more fun because it has a happy ending.
Yeah, I just Empire made it set the dark tone, and it did something also. And if you said this already, I'm sorry, I was preoccupied with the guest that's coming in. But we had the thing was again. Did you say that the twist was just dark and it ended?
It blue-balled. Yeah. It was very much a thing.
And I like that. I mean, that was one of the things. I don't agree with what Joss Whedon said at all, that it was the worst of the trilogy. And again, I know everyone loves Joss Whedon. You can't say anything bad about it, but I think that's one of the most moronic statements.
It's the best filmmaking too. It's like the pacing of it. It's really strong filmmaking. I actually rewatched Star Wars. This like 2 days ago, my girlfriend had was like, oh, I've seen it a million times. I was like, nah. She's like, when? Well, I was 9. So we watched it. It was like watching it with somebody watching it for the first time.
Yeah, the girl I went on a date with didn't see it at all.
Yeah, it was really interesting because Star Wars is the way it was done. It was very clunky. It was very like thrown together. At one point, there were 3 sound stages, different directors running around, all that stuff. Empire Strikes Back. He went to his teacher and said, please craft a masterpiece. And him and Harrison Ford and Lucas, and they all, like, it was teamwork, and it was great.
Okay, now here's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to tell you that it may not be Star Wars Empire Strikes Back level filmmaking that you're going to get to see on Friday, but you're going to have a really good time if you come by the offline movie night. It is going to be kind of co-hosted by Drama34 and the guys from the Schmoes. No, I actually will not be there in person, but I will be there on video kind of. I will be in blue. I'll be like Obi-Wan Kenobi. I'll just kind of have a blue outline, and I'll be cracking some dick jokes, and it'll be a good time for everybody. And I really want to thank David Figgis for coming on. But before we let him go real quick, I got to do the ultimate Sophie's Choice with you, my friend.
Oh, shit.
Do you take Van Halen 1 or 1984?
Van Halen 1 or Van Halen
1? Or 1984.
I think Van Halen 1984 is slightly hugely overrated. And actually, my least favorite Van Halen song is Jump. It's the most.
Well, then it's a good time to kick you off the podcast. David Figgis, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on the show.
Yes, You are correct.
Again, guys, make sure you check out. You can check out everything that we have with Jonathan before. You'll see us a lot, not only from the podcast, but you'll see us doing a lot of collaborations with David and Bryce. David, thank you again for joining us.
Thank you. Thank all you. Right. And go to your Facebook page. Schmoville's Facebook page has all the info for tomorrow night.
So okay, great. Yeah, Facebook.com/SchmoesNoob.
Come on out to the offline movie night, dance the night away, bottoms up.
We've got about five, 6 minutes here to cover the movies that are coming out this weekend.
All right. Do we have the Sophie's Choice, or can we just talk about them?
There's two movies. You got the first one is Out of the Furnace with Christian Bale and Casey Affleck, as well as William Dafoe. And then you have Inside Llewyn Davis, the new Coen Brothers movie, which we are very excited to see if you're a Coen Brothers fan. So let's, I guess we can do it. Which one are you looking forward to?
Well, doesn't this whole weekend kind of feel like, a break? You know, like we had all these big Thanksgiving movies like Frozen and The Hunger Games come out, and then next week we know we're going to have to deal with The Hobbit and all that madness. And so now it's just, we got some smaller movies coming out. Maybe there's a great performance. Maybe there's something that gets nominated. Maybe we just enjoy a nice little story. So me, as a Coen Brothers fan, I think I know what I'm getting when I go into that movie. Right. So I'm a little intrigued by this Out of the Furnace thing. It looks like something that's really dark and gritty, but it also doesn't feel like it has kind of like a Arlie Van Damme film kind of tone. Like his brother, something happens to Christian Bale's brother. So now the guy that played Batman has to go find out what happened to him.
All I can say is I've seen the film.
Jesus.
I can say that there's more.
You should be talking.
There's a darker tone to it, and there's definitely a Deliverance type feel to it at points. A villain type performance. But
this British film called Dead Man's Shoes.
No, which one's that?
No, Tiffany. Out of the Furnace or Inside Llewyn Davis?
Brother who is. He comes back from war and. Like Avengers stuff for his brother, and it's really, really dark. And so I don't know if it's...
Yeah, I mean, it has that tone for sure. Yeah. But again, those are your choices this week, guys. And check them out. You can also check out our reviews for both of those on youtube.com/schmoesknow. I want to thank David Fickus for joining us. I want to thank JTI for the Schmoes Choice game. And we're also going to be. It's next week, guys. Big, big podcast.
Yeah, we're going to be talking all things Hobbit in anticipation of The Hobbit, The Desolation of Josh. How do you pronounce that name?
Smaug.
Yeah, but also, we're going to be joined by our buddy, producer Andrew Freed. And we'll talk, he's talking about great stories.
You talk about legendary. I'll be disappointed if he doesn't have some of the best stories you've ever heard on this podcast.
No. He's got legit stories. He's worked with Mike Tyson. He's got a great Bob Costas story. I mean, we made him tell the first time he was on the show. He's going to get a lot of good stories. So make sure you check that out next week. And again, if you're not checking us out on Toad Hop right now, you can check us out all the time at schmoesknow.com, youtube.com/schmoesknow, @schmoesknow, Facebook schmoesknow, Tiffany's tweets.
Okay, no, don't go robot. Come on, @Tiffany's tweets, @5150Ellis, @Christian Harloff, @Josh McCouga, @RileyAround, @KenKnapsack, @JoshTheIntern, whatever his Twitter handle is this week, @DFickus. Thank you again to David Fickus, our special guest. And if you're in LA, make sure you check out the offline movie night on Friday. If you happen to be in the St. Louis area, I'll be at the Funny Bone from Thursday through Saturday. So come on out and make me love Missouri.
All right, guys. So again, thank you, Drama 344, this great, great office. Really happy to have the whole crew here. Schmoville, thank you for joining us again. Check us out. This episode will be up on Sunday on the YouTube channel. We'll be back next week. Peace out, Mother Fs.